Welcome, everyone, to Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard. I am Bruce Pritchard, and you are listening to Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard, right here on webtalkradio.net. And this week, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to be talking about the WWE draft. We're going to be talking about recent releases made by WWE and how that's going to affect the talent roster, not only on the WWE side, but also possibly on the TNA side. Whether or not TNA should, will, or maybe not pick up some of these wrestlers that have been released from their contracts on the WWE side. I'd like to apologize to everybody if no shows have been up. I'm somewhat electronically challenged at times, so I'm sure that's probably my fault for sending something in the wrong way or just not right enough. But hopefully we're going to get that solved, and you guys are going to be hearing from me every single week here. A lot of things that have happened in the world of wrestling. A lot of things have happened lately since, you know, we last talked. You know, last time we wrapped up everything about WrestleMania, we had our post-WrestleMania show. We talked about the post-issues that were coming out of WrestleMania and kind of gave a few predictions on the draft and what may or may not happen. And since then, the draft has taken places. And, you know, I got to tell you, somewhat overwhelmed by my underwhelmedness. I just didn't think that there were that many moves that meant really anything. I felt that it was just kind of a shuffling of the deck, and especially in recent weeks with the volcanic ash keeping Raw competitors overseas and not being able to make Raw a few weeks ago, where we had an all SmackDown show practically on Raw. And then you come back for the draft show and you've got another mixed show. It's a lot of sameness, a lot of the same faces doing the same thing, same matches even between Raw and SmackDown. That, you know, was definitely not must-see television on anyone's part in the last few weeks. On the TNA side, we've got a brand new world champion in Rob Van Dam. I got to tell you, I'm happy to see that. I think Rob Van Dam will do a great job as champion as long as Rob is given the ball and let Rob go. Let Rob be Rob. Because RVD is not the kind of guy that's going to go the mainstream route and do exactly as he's told to do and say exactly as he's told to say. That's what makes Rob special. And I think that's the biggest reason that Rob can connect with his fan base and has such of a following that he has. I think Rob Van Dam being made world champion is going to be a positive in the world of TNA, in a place where recently, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot of positives. We haven't seen a whole lot of brand new. We haven't seen a lot of guys stepping up, grabbing that brass ring. And it's nice to see, you know, Van Dam actually get that opportunity. Another guy that I think would have been in it would have been just as good as Jeff Hardy. And, you know, Jeff has a lot of legal issues that he has to deal with. And Jeff has got to get through those first, I think, before they are going to put any kind of muscle behind pushing the Jeff Hardy character anytime soon. And let's hope Jeff does get those issues taken care of in a court of law, the way that it needs to be taken care of. And then Jeff can move on and do what I believe Jeff has potential to do, and that is set this business on fire. Looking back, again, different things have been taking place. World Wrestling, we had a lot of releases this past week by World Wrestling Entertainment, releasing Kung Fu Naki, Shelton Benjamin, Big Shot, Jimmy Wang Yang, Katie Lee Burchill, didn't even know she was still there, Mike Knox, didn't know Mike was still there. I saw Mike perform on Friday Night SmackDown a few weeks ago, and Mike looked god-awful. He was out of shape, slow, wasn't the Mike Knox that was hired several years ago, and I definitely agree with that after seeing Mike on their SmackDown program a few weeks ago. Mike didn't do himself any favors. And Mickie James, which is another big surprise, because Mickie, without a doubt, probably one of the most popular females, divas. They're strong. They're sexy. They're But Mickey was one that stood out. Mickey was one that the WWE universe, or you fans, really seemed to gravitate to and like quite a bit. So it's going to be interesting whether or not TNA picks anybody up. My opinion, the only ones worth picking up are Shelton Benjamin and Mickey James. You know, Jimmy Wang Yang, Kung Funaki. I love Funaki to death. Great guy. Great talent. But, you know, I just think it's time for everybody. And I sure hope Funaki lands on his feet. That's other interesting news. It's kind of, you know, made the rounds in the dirt sheet. Who really knows what the truth is? But allegedly, while overseas, Mark Henry was arrested for throwing a drink and threatening a fan who asked for Mark's autograph. I got to give you my two cents here. And I know if you follow the dirt sheets and if you read the wrestling media, you can draw your own conclusions, and everyone seems to have weighed in on this. So I might as well give my weigh in on it as well. If Mark Henry wanted to rip somebody's head off, I don't know four other human beings that could stop Mark Henry if he wanted to harm someone. And I also know Mark to be a very easygoing, probably in some instances too easygoing. Mark's a really nice guy and someone that takes an awful lot to rile him. So if Mark was riled to the point of even reacting, you know, I think that some of the eyewitness accounts are a little bit skewed. And I could be wrong, you know, being away from home, drinking, it can do a lot of things to you. But I hardly doubt that the world's strongest man was held back by anyone. And I also find it hard to believe that Mark would even waste his time threatening to beat someone up that was not at least twice his size so that he could do something about it. But that's just not the kind of person Mark is. Mark really isn't easygoing. Pretty easy guy to get along with. So I doubt that the fan's perspective of Mark Henry jumping down his throat and threatening him or just something that took place in a moment of non-clarity and in between drinks and where he went, boy, wouldn't it be cool if they all held him back from me? It'd be cool if it could be done. I don't believe it could be done. A lot of speculation on good old JR, Jim Ross. It appears Jim Ross's contract with the WWE is coming to an end. That doesn't mean, of course, that Jim will be leaving WWE. WWE has been JR's home for quite a long time. But at the same time, if they can't really agree on terms, then it's going to be interesting and fun to watch to see where Jim Ross pops up. A lot of people would like to see Jim pop up at TNA and be the play-by-play man, head up on Monday nights with TNA against Raw. That could be very interesting. And Jim also, you know, Jim has, believe it or not, Jim has other loves other than wrestling. And Jim, I think if he had an opportunity to do some other sports, in particular football, college ball, pro ball, my God, little league ball, Jim would relish that. Because that is a true passion, Jim. And having heard Jim do play-by-play football on the radio and also with the XFL, boy, it's a shame that he never had the opportunity to work for a network and be able to call play-by-play on professional football, because that is truly one of the best things that JR does. Also, I know Jim's interested in the MMA world, so he could possibly end up there. Or, you know what, Jim may just relax at home and sell some barbecue and continue to sell his barbecue sauce online and get it distribution for some of his products. Take life a little easy, because everybody knows that man is a hard-working man and has really been busting his butt these last few years, even through several illnesses. And wherever JR ends up. I just hope he's happy, and I hope he does very well for whoever gets him at the end. I mean, they're the ones that are going to be the winners. They truly will be. And the fans that get to enjoy JR on the backside. We will be following that and see what happens there. Boy, Monday Night Raw. I watched the draft show. And I'm not sure that too much thought really went into the draft. Either that or way too much thought went into the draft, depending upon how you want to look at it. There wasn't any big name jump. There wasn't any big shakeup. There wasn't anything that made me go, oh, God, I can hardly wait to watch on Friday night to see what this guy is going to do. Or oh, Raw's going to be so much better because they've got this guy now. It all seemed just a very mild shuffling. And okay, this guy's over here now officially, even though I see him a lot over here. It just seemed insignificant. A lot of hoopla about nothing. And in watching Raw, you know, Raw opened up with The Miz Show. I really like the act of the Big Show and Miz as the Unified Tag Team Champions. And then out comes Bret Hart. I guess Bret's going to be managing, doing stand-up comedy or something for the Hart Foundation. You know, Bret was never really a great interview. And worse, Bret is a terrible, terrible comedian. Yes, this is coming from the guy who has been on stage, who has done comedy shows and headline comedy shows across the country. And some people say, I'm not that funny either. But I guarantee you I would have delivered the lines a lot better than Bret Hart did on Monday night. And I would have fought for some better lines because that was just, I didn't get it. Really didn't get Bret coming out and making fun of Big Show and Miz and talking about David Arquette. Just came out of nowhere and meant nothing. And speaking of meaning nothing, the New Hart Foundation, I guess as they're called, with Davey Boy Smith's son, David Smith, and Tyson, I guess is the other young man's name, and Natty Neidhart. The only personality in that entire thing is, all of it is wrapped up in Natalie Neidhart, and she's the one that doesn't get to go in the ring and perform. So, a little confused. You know, they can do some, Tyson Kidd does some great moves, and he's an energetic guy, tough kid, but they have the personality of a potato. And their punches probably feel like potatoes when they hit you. But I'm not a big fan. I don't see it. I certainly don't see adding yet another body around the ring to try and give them personality when that body is Bret. Let's watch some paint dry Hart. Don't think anybody cares anymore. Bret came out, no explanation. No, nothing after his battles with Mr. McMahon at WrestleMania. And now Bret's going to be, I guess, the manager or confidant or bag carrier or something for the Hart Foundation. I think Bret's involvement there is supposed to make you care. Actually, it made me care a lot less. Again, I understand, you know, putting the titles on these kids only from the standpoint of Big Show being drafted back to SmackDown. But at the same time, wouldn't it have been more interesting if you kept the titles on Show Miz and then they split up and one's in SmackDown and one's in Raw? And now you have reason to take the titles off of them and maybe have a tournament, maybe hold the titles up, maybe make a unified championship, something like that. Just that would have been a little bit more interesting than a non-personality team going out, beating Miz and Big Show, and okay, woohoo,
Now you got four people in there for a tag team that you have to travel all over the world.
And I don't get it, folks. I just don't get it. And then from there, you know, we're sitting there watching, and I'm watching this video on Sheamus and Triple H. Now, Triple H, a lot of controversy surrounding him since he's going off to New Orleans to do a movie that originally Batista was supposed to do. But as the scuttlebutt and internet rumors go, Batista has not signed his extension and has not signed a new contract. So they punished Batista by taking the movie away from him and putting Triple H in the starring role. And so Triple H is going to be off filming a movie, so we need to get rid of Triple H. Let's have Sheamus do it. And as I'm watching the video, it brought to mind the past few weeks on SmackDown and Raw last week when they had the Clippers to shave CM Punk's head. And they added the really cheesy sound effect every time it looked like or the Clippers were supposed to be on. Now, didn't matter what distance they were, the same sound. And the guy's thumb would move down and do it. Not a good job. And WWE production has usually been very good about being subtle in some of the things they do. They'll add sound effects to enhance something. But in watching this and watching the metal pipe, it felt so hokey, and it did. I hate to use this word. I hate it because I struck the word from my vocabulary, so I won't even say it. But it looked fake. Did not look real, and it may have been very real, but the sound effect took everything away from it because metal doesn't clink like it does on a wall when it hits bone or leather or flesh. But the sound effects, people made it clink like you were ringing a bell. And it did not feel real at all. And it took away any emotion or any believability and credibility that they might have had with that. Didn't like it at all. Didn't think it did Hunter any favors. Didn't think it did Sheamus any favors. So then we go from there. We go to Jack Swagger, who's been beaten by everyone as the World Heavyweight Champion. Praise Swagger. I love the fact that they made Swagger world champion. What I have not loved since Swagger has been world champion is the fact that he's been beaten by Cena. He's been beaten by Orton. He's been beaten by John Morrison. Taker. I mean, he's been beaten by everybody. Clean. In the middle. And this is your world champion. And here's a kid who has real credentials. Has a lisp. Which I like, because it makes him different. Swagger could be something that WWE hasn't had since Kurt Angle. A believable killer. A believable machine that you know can go in and beat anybody. And when someone does finally beat him, it will mean so much more. But the fact that he's already been beaten by everyone, kind of like, okay, I don't care about it. But Swagger at least finally got to got his win back on Morrison this week, and soundly, and I was happy to see that. Then see the first person in the draft. Heading on over. The SmackDown, Kelly Kelly. Again. Yawn. Don't care. I wasn't really sure where Kelly Kelly was in the first place. So now I guess I know that she's officially SmackDown. I didn't really know where she was before that. Now I know. She's in SmackDown. Yawn. Wake me up when she does something. Then we had CM Punk, who, again, I do think is probably the best heel act in the entire WWE right now. Because the straight-edge society that Punk preaches is believable. Punk passionately leads this group and passionately comes at you with reasons why the straight edge society is the only way to live your life and to follow him. It makes sense. It's true, the things that Punk says, which is why people dislike him. And the fact that he looks like he hasn't taken a bath in 6 years. Love it. Great character. Great guy. It's going to go far. Had a good match with Evan Bourne. And, you know, it was what it was, and kind of helping reestablish Punk into being a top guy and really someone you want to care about and not like very much. Speaking about not liking very much, you know, I've tried to watch WWE, NXT. It's, and I'm all about the new young guys, but the show is centered around people that it's very hard to care about. And I certainly hope some of those young guys can kick out of that, get involved with some named talent, get some time, go out and do some meaningful promos, and get involved in a storyline so you can see whether or not they have the chops to do it, and get them in the mix. Let's just get them in the mix. Enough of this, you know, game playing. It's the only way you're really going to find out is to put them in there with the big dogs, and the big dogs are going to eat them up, or young talent's going to get something on one of those big dogs and make everybody notice. We had another draft. Big Show goes back over to SmackDown. Okay. I think you kind of saw that from the very first match with the tag team match. Again, nobody really cares. And, you know, we go in and we see the whole Sheamus and Randy Orton, and they do their little face down. John Cena comes out, makes fun of everybody. And I just, you know, I found it funny that for someone, I'll say Vince McMahon and the WWE people that will actually talk to you and tell you, this is what we do. This is what we don't do. We have credibility. We want our things to be believable. We want you to get lost in the storyline. We want this to be the real action-adventure reality show. And then you have your champion come out and say, oh yeah, somebody told me that I make the matches tonight. You know, if I'd suggested that 3-4 years ago, they would have looked at me like I had steaming dog feces hanging out of my mouth. Because their rationale was, no, you must have a figurehead there for someone to do it. You just can't. And their illogical logic that goes back and forth to suit them for the moment, just in front of them at the time, to make it work, is mind-boggling sometimes. And then the little things like Randy Orton coming out and talking about, I've done bad things to Triple H, when he's talking to Sheamus. But by God, I did it face to face. Do they really believe that the viewing audience has such little retention? Now, I know I do, because I'm getting older and got hit in the head several times. Do they really think that the audience doesn't remember Randy Orton going and trying to do illicit and unsavory things to Triple H and his wife at their home? I don't know. I wasn't even watching then, and I remembered that. But they're trying to make Randy, I guess, a big baby face and make Randy a hero, and one way to kind of go about it. So, but the champion gets named as number one contender. Wow, I wish I could be champion. I'd wrestle Hornswoggle every week. And that's what I would do. Asking Jerry Lawler, you know, who he did, I really expected to hear that from him, but he didn't. Damn, Jerry, you disappoint me sometimes. Then we have another draft, and we see John Morrison
going to Raw. Then we see R-Truth, Edge, all going to Raw. Of course, this is the result of the ineffective, just really boring Battle Royal they had in which Ted DiBiase won. The end result, you got Morrison, Edge, and R-Truth now heading to Raw. There, Jericho Slater come out, and Jericho is to face Christian. And I expected a lot more out of these guys because I really like Chris Jericho and Christian. I just thought the match, they were kind of going through the motions and felt a little sorry for Chris Jericho because Jericho is just such a great talent. You know, I love to watch Jericho wrestle, but it just didn't come across here. It wasn't good. Have another draft. Kofi going to SmackDown. You get to see Morrison get beat up by Swagger. And then you get to see Christian going to SmackDown. Again, there's not any big names here. There's not any really, oh my God, did you hear that? You know, they're just kind of going through the motions, which I feel like I'm doing now. As I go back and read it each time, it feels even more boring and non-consequential. They did a vignette in the back, which I found interesting with the Million Dollar Kid, I'll call him Ted DiBiase, with a replica of his daddy's Million Dollar Belt, asking Carlito to be his manservant, then turning on to R-Truth, the black man, and asking him to be, you know, you could do this, you could do that, you could carry my bags, and then have R-Truth go into what I felt was just a very stereotypical and kind of a lowbrow rendition of the old, you know, rich guy servant scenario that's been done over and over and over. Thought it would actually have been interesting if R-Truth had done it, taken the money. Would have been a whole heck of a lot more heat there than, regardless of color, than anything else. But it was just so stereotypical, black and white. Well, actually, I guess pun intended, that I didn't think it came off well for anyone. Then the highlight of the night for me, the midget match. Yes, I'll just go ahead and piss off everybody here. Yes, the midget match headlined by the little midget, Dolph Ziggler, and Hornswoggle. What exactly were they trying to do here? I don't really know. Dolph Ziggler is not a convincing bad guy to me. He's not a very embracing good guy to me. He's just a guy with bleach blonde hair, decent body, and one of the worst sleeper holds I've ever seen. Guys, if you're going to use a submission hold or a sleeper or a sugar, something like that for a hold, I have one request. Learn how to apply the hold. Dolph Ziggler now gets my vote for the single worst application of the sleeper hold. I mean, he wins. He gets the prize. And he puts little Hornswoggle to sleep with the worst sleeper hold on the face of the earth. Man, if you're going to do it, learn how to do it properly. It's really not that difficult. And there are some guys down there at the developmental area who have put people to sleep. I've been put to sleep by them. Ask them how to properly apply a sleeper hold so you can at least make it look like you know what you're doing. Instead of going out and just doing what you've seen over the years, which amounts to a really sloppy, poor sleeper hold. Just looks terrible and couldn't do a thing. So that's my advice to you, Mr. Ziggler. Learn how to do your craft before you go out and do it. Didn't like this. Didn't like it at all. Didn't see what it accomplished. Didn't you know, like the bigger little guy beating up little Hornswoggle. Then we see Chris Jericho going to Raw. Thus far, the biggest move in the draft. And we get into our Edge Orton scenario that came out of, you know, Batista and Orton. And Sheamus for the number one contendership that John Cena made earlier. You know, I like Edge getting involved. That was cool. Like Batista getting involved. Batista's now the number one contender according to this match. And that's all cool. It just, again, left me a little flat. I hope in future weeks that Edge being a heel again is going to breathe some new life into him. And I hope that does something to kind of spark Randy Orton to kind of come out and really be someone to reckon with. Over on the TNA side, you know, the biggest thing to come out of that show, I guess, was the Battle of the Rings. Here you have Ric Flair with his WWE Hall of Fame ring. You have Hulk Hogan with his WWE Hall of Fame ring. But Hulk Hogan gave his to Abyss. And Ric Flair wants it for some reason. Why, I don't know. But Ric Flair wanted Hulk Hogan's Hall of Fame ring from Abyss. So Ric Flair put his ring on the line against Abyss's Hulk Hogan ring. That gets confusing. Have the match, and you know, I love Ric Flair to death. Boy, it's kind of, after 40 years, the act is getting a little stale. Ric bleeds great. That's all we have seen of Ric at TNA thus far, is a lot of bleeding. And we haven't seen the greatness of Ric Flair. And, you know, to have some guy stand on Rick's head while Hulk Hogan struggles to take his WWE Hall of Fame ring off. I gotta tell you, I was just laughing. It felt silly to me. It felt insignificant and silly. If you're trying to build TNA and you're trying to build a new company around new stars, why are you having your two oldest stars fight over something they got from another company with a masked guy that I can't relate to? I just don't know, you know, what they're trying to do here and who they're trying to build. Because the younger talent's matched up with the younger talent, the older talent's matched up with the older talent, and it feels like rehash, and unfortunately not a lot of freshness coming into the mix there in TNA. And then you get to a big announcement by Eric Bischoff, and his big announcement is that you, the fans, are going to decide who gets a world title shot. Well, it's said in there, so I'm not taking shots here. Go to TNAWrestling.com and vote for the person that you feel is most deserving to get a world title shot. And I did that. I went to the website to check it out. And you only get a choice of 10 people that they have pre-chosen to vote from. And it's very interesting because Desmond Wolfe is by far the biggest contender on votes, followed by Jeff Hardy. The more interesting thing to me was the smallest vote getters, which were Abyss, the guy who now has two Hall of Fame rings from the WWE, one from Ric Flair, one from Hulk Hogan, and Jeff Jarrett. And I, if nothing else, you know, don't say, okay, go on and pick whoever you want from the roster for a title shot, because you don't have the ability to choose anyone from the roster. But I hope that TNA is looking at this as an indication as to where the fans are looking and who they're looking at, who they really like. Because at the end of the day, most of these polls are simply a popularity contest. They're a popularity contest of the guys that they like best and the guys that they want to see more of. And it also tells you something else. It tells you the talent that they don't care about and the talent that they want to see less of because they are not voting for, they're not interested in. So that was a little shocking to me. I would have thought Jeff Hardy would have been in the lead by far, and I know some of the, in reading the internet reports, I think they felt that Mr. Anderson and some other people would have been up there even more. And I like Mr. Anderson. I think that he's going to be a star. I think he's going to find himself there in TNA and do good. And I hope he does because he's a hardworking guy and he's got a really good shtick. We shall see. We'll see what happens. But TNA, I just think that TNA really needs to start developing new talent at the expense of and sacrifice of some of the older talent, some of the talent that has been there a long time, and some of the talent that can no longer hang night in, night out, and not make the house shows, and on television, get these younger guys over. Make them mean something. You know, some of the younger talent, never going to make it. I don't know if Shannon Moore is ever going to make it. He's different, but I don't think he's won a match since he's been in TNA. So, got a lot of work to do. The supplemental draft takes place this week, and you can check that out on the various websites and see who lands where and who does what. But over the next few weeks, we're going to be kind of pairing up new pairings in WWE, see who's going to end up with who, and we'll be analyzing that each and every week, and hope in the next few weeks to have Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle, is our guest here on the show, as well as a former WWE security guard, Jim Noonan, and several others as we get back in the swing. And I promise you, we're going to be here each and every week. I'm Bruce Pritchard. This is Something to Wrestle With. We'll see you next week, everybody.